Hey everybody, Ian here to tell you all about the fine shows you could be listening to from the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Let's start it off with the original Stuff and Things, the podcast about everything and nothing at all, starring myself and my good buddy Chewy, where we talk about our friendship, our past, our future, our history, ghosts, clowns, sharks, dolphins, and Stan Lee. That comes out every single Friday. You can also check out Four Color Commentary, where myself, Chewy, Ryan, and Alan talk about comic books. That's right, kids, comic books. Old, new, comic book movies and news. So many comics you can't even handle it all. That comes out every new comic book day, which is Wednesdays for those of you in the know. If you're an old or new comic books fan, this is the podcast for you. And every Saturday, Ryan and I team up for an action-packed blockbuster with Super Action Bros, where we watch movies with explosions and car chases. Strap in, everybody, and get your popcorn ready, because Super Action Bros is coming your way. And finally, the dark and spooky side of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. That's right, boys and girls. Get ready for some scares. It's Eyes in the Dark with Chewy, Evan, and James as they watch classic horror movies and some of those that were made just as a quick cash grab. Well, everybody, that's all the shows of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Odds are you're listening to one right now or I wouldn't even be here. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to subscribe to us and sit back, relax, and enjoy another fine Stuff and Things Network podcast.
To remove one shackle from around your necks, only to replace it with one of my own. You have a choice. You can run and hide, or you can stay and fight. Any man who fights with me shall have his freedom, and, if he wishes it, immortality.
You're listening to Super Action Bros podcast, talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And a movie that expects us to believe that Michael Sheen is sexy.
Well,
maybe not. Especially when you look at his IMDb photo, so, like compared to the way he looks in this movie, you're like, oh, that's not the same guy, is it? Is it?
He's that guy from Tron.
Michael Sheen is no. Michael Sheen to me is the dramatic Tron. Simon Pegg. That's what Michael Sheen.
He was
is
in
to
Tron.
Me. He was in
Tron Legacy.
Yes. All right, hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to week number four of what we call it? Oh, Monster Mash Monthtober 3 Resurrection.
Oh, man. And I need to be resurrected because these movies have been bad.
Yeah, they've been killing me, too.
This is like the worst crop of movies we've seen in a while.
It's just, yeah, it's great. And this time we watched.
Guys, we don't pre-screen before we choose movies
not
for
at
the
all.
Show. We're just
not
like, well, you know what would be funny? Is we watched the third movie in a bunch of
series. I watched more crap for the show than I have ever in my life. And speaking of crap, we watched a movie, the third in the Underworld series, a prequel.
Yes.
Underworld, Rise of the Lycans.
They won't even call it
Underworld
3.
They don't call any of them Underworld 2, 3, 4. Actually. They're embarrassed. So before we get into Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, let me let you guys know how you can reach out to us if you'd like to reach out to the show. Easiest way to do that is to go to our website, which is at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. We are part of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Click on Super Action Bros on the very front page.
Yes.
And you'll be taken to a page where you can listen to the show right on the website. You can also follow us on social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and also Letterboxd. Mm-hmm. All there, as well as you can also follow us individually on Twitter by clicking on our photos. But if you want to do that right now, you can find me on the interwebs at iRich. That's at IRITCH for me, Ian.
I'm on Twitter also. Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
Why?
I don't want to be on Twitter right now. He just keeps talking about Donald Trump.
Don't message us about election stuff. We're here to talk about movies.
Yeah.
You can do all of that there, the website, as well as contact us. There's a contact us button in the very top part of the website, so you can click on that and contact us. Reach out to us.
You can send us emails. Yes. You can leave reviews of our show on iTunes or Stitcher, Google Play.
Yeah, we like seeing those.
Tell your friends. Super Action Bros, movie where people watch bad movies so you don't have to.
Yep, that's right.
But that's not the slogan.
But it should have been.
It's too late now,
Ian. Ryan, Underworld: Rise of the Lycans.
Speaking of too late.
This was I'll be honest with you. I'm just gonna put it on Front Street now. This was a torture to get through.
Really?
I fell asleep.
We have watched a number of worse shows.
Just so boring. It's just like hissing, growling, and talking about slavery. It's like, I want to watch them fight, but I want to watch them fight in a cool way. Like, the vampires were hardly even vampires in this movie. The only way you knew they were vampires is because they didn't go out in the sun.
And they were doing like Vampires the Masquerade
LARPing. I was bummed at the lack of hissing in this movie. It wasn't enough.
I'm okay with the amount of hissing that was or was not in this movie. So the movie is a prequel.
Yes.
And it's like a direct prequel.
Yes.
Like, they expect you to remember everything that happened in Underworld and Underworld Evolution.
Yes.
Because they just throw you right in it and they're like, 3,000 years ago.
This was very clearly for the Underworld fans.
Like, the first 20 minutes.
It also wasn't 3,000 years ago.
It was a thousand years ago. But I mean, like, the movie just starts and it's like, it doesn't remind you of any of the things from the actual series until like maybe the last 5 minutes. And
yeah.
That feels very much like a, oh yeah, I think Kate Beckinsale's contracted to be in this movie. Let's see if we can get her in for a second. But oh man, it just throws you in.
I'm not convinced that wasn't just a clip from one of the other movies that they just put
was.
It in.
But I mean, this movie is a lore bomb.
Ugh.
This movie is,
and like, lore that nobody asked for,
right? But
we're probably offending one hardcore. There's probably
There's probably there are dozens.
Is there a Tumblr group?
Oh, I'm sure
of like Underworld, hardcore Underworld fans.
Ian, you know that there is.
I mean, like, I know I knew goth girls in middle school and high school that were like, well, even if they didn't dress really gothy because their parents wouldn't let them, but like, who loved like vampires and elves and all this stuff, and they probably loved this at the time. But if I were to be like, hey, you ever watch the third one? They'd probably be like, no, I would. I'd know.
They probably like, oh yeah,
or
fell asleep
halfway
through.
What happened?
I fell asleep halfway through that movie. Yeah. No, but this is the kind of movie that, like, remember after like the first couple of Lord of the Rings, everybody's like, oh, I want to watch a Lord of the Rings prequel.
Yeah,
and then the everybody Hobbit saw the out. First Hobbit of the threequels.
I think
of
I
those.
Saw the Hobbit with you.
Yeah, we saw it together, and you're like, oh wait. That was kind of bad.
I know.
And they didn't get better.
The first one wasn't terrible, but
terrible.
But I remember smiling, be like, oh, I'm smiling. It's nice to hear that music again and see the Shire again. But then I was like, okay, are we done with the movie yet?
But I mean, this
that
this
wizard's
is,
got poop on his head.
This
I don't
is
care
very
about
much
him.
A this is very much a less Lord of the Rings than it is a Star Wars style prequel.
The Hobbit.
Let's explain
is,
a bunch of stuff that nobody cared about, and you didn't need an explanation.
The Hobbit is Oscar gold compared to this. I would even go so far as to say I would rather watch Star Wars Episode One than this.
Yeah, I mean this like literally if you boil down this movie, it's
at least Star Wars Episode One had some lightsabers.
There were two lines in the previous two Underworlds movies that you may have thought, what? I don't know what that's about. Let's spend an hour and a half explaining it.
And no one cares.
It's like, what, you know, why is Bill Nighy nice to Kate Beckinsale?
We got this
because of this movie.
But we got this.
Why is Bill Nighy and Michael Sheen not like each other?
Because
of this movie. That's it. Like, they could have just been like a 10-minute flashback sequence in the beginning of Underworld 4. Would have been fine.
I think also, too, they had to get a lady who looked kind of like Kate Beckinsale, but not like Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah. Let's talk about the people who are in this movie.
Yeah,
people
let's
who
talk
made
about
this movie.
Her.
So this movie was directed by a first-time director. What a surprise. His name is, I believe, Patrick Tautopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
He actually has done a lot of movies, but not directed a lot of movies. He is a visual effects dude. He is renowned for visual effects.
Independence Day, Stargate, Underworld here, the original Underworld. I Am Legend. He's pretty renowned
for it. He's done a ton of stuff.
The Patriot? He's an actor in The Patriot.
Yeah, he's in The Patriot for a moment. He's a French naval officer.
Producer, Special Effects 2012.
But this is his feature film debut, and he has not done a feature film since. No. He did direct a TV movie in 2015. So he did special effects for the other ones.
A lot of creature design as well.
Yeah, and it's funny, we don't talk about it a whole lot, but there is sort of a trajectory in Hollywood. You don't just become a director usually unless you
have
you go to
work
film
your
school,
way
unless
up,
you go to USC film school.
Yeah, apparently. And your buddies with Spielberg and, Lucas or
Coppola.
No, actually, Spielberg didn't go to school there, did he? No, Spielberg didn't.
He's pals.
Yeah, there's pals.
But usually the way you become...
Oh, and Scorsese too. You got to mention him.
That's true. Usually the way you become a Hollywood director is you work your way up. A lot of times cinematographers you'll see become directors. Writers will sometimes become directors. And for especially like science fiction or more action-heavy movies, you'll either see like stunt coordinators, like the guys who made John Wick, become directors, or special effects people. James Cameron started as a special effects guy before he became a director, for instance. And so it's not totally out of the realm of possibility for a special effects guy to become a director and become a good director, or a special effects lady to become a great director as well. But in this case, no, it didn't. That's not what happened.
No, very clearly.
So also, there are some people who wrote this movie. A lot of people were involved in the writing of this movie.
Were they?
But the people who matter, I guess, are Len Wiseman, who did not write the screenplay, but he did write the story, and he also has credit for the characters of Underworld. And the other guy is Kevin Grivo. Kevin Grivo is actually in this movie. He plays Raze, also known as the one black guy in this movie. That's actually his speaking voice, that super deep voice. But he sort of created the universe of Underworld. He's actually written Underworld comics. He's actually written a bunch of DC and Marvel comics, too.
He's also in The Mask as henchman number four.
But he and Len Wiseman are kind of the architects of the Underworld universe. Len Wiseman has come out on top of that situation because he became a producer and produced things like the Sleepy Hollow series, the Lucifer series. He executive produced the most recent Total Recall remake. He executive produced Hawaii 5-0, the new TV series that I've heard is pretty decent. He's also directed. He directed actually the new Total Recall. He directed Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh.
The wackiest of the Die Hards.
Yeah. That one's fun.
One day, Ian, we're gonna watch them all. So that's the people who made this movie.
Oh God, there's an Underworld anime.
Is it really?
Yeah, I looked at McBride, the screenplay writer. There's an Underworld anime.
The Danny McBride who wrote the screenplay is not the Danny McBride.
It's called Underworld Endless War.
Eastbound and Down.
It's 18 minutes long.
Oh, it's just one animated short.
Three shorts.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
From 2011.
Oh, there's three original shorts. It's part of it's three original shorts that add up to 18.
It's as good as the Animatrix. So
see who they got to animate.
Oh boy. Oh, yeah, I guess we'll have to watch that. We could add that to our Underworld run.
This isn't The Matrix.
Oh, Lord. Okay, who's in this movie?
So there's two big names in this movie. Big names as in people who've done other things.
People
that
who are contractually obligated to continue being in this franchise. I don't think neither of them seem like they were really stoked to be in it.
We start with Michael Sheen.
Yes.
He plays the sexy werewolf.
Lucien.
Ooh.
These are such, like, all the names in this movie are such, like, Hot Topic girl fan fiction names.
It's...
And then Lucien took... What's her name? Oh, Sonia. Oh, man. And held her close.
They do have a...
Meanwhile,
they do have
her angry
scene.
Father, Victor, was... It's all... They're all...
Victor with a K, obviously.
Yeah, and they're all, like, every single one of them is, like... And what were the other ones' name? What's Kate Beckinsale's name in the movie?
Oh, God.
Selena?
No, it's Celine.
Oh, God.
Which means...
And then her boyfriend's what? Like Michael or something like that?
Scott Speedman.
Michael. But like they're all
Hermano.
Like... Every single one of them is like lady fan fiction.
Well, no, it's just like the... Like, there are cliches about vampire and werewolf fiction.
Every single
and
person in this movie looks like they love
movies, Evanescence. These movies hit every single cliche. Like acting cliches... Dialogue cliches, the storyline cliches, the set decoration, the way everybody dresses.
I could turn off the audio and play both the Evanescence songs that people know.
Oh, man.
Based on the scene, and it would
you
work
totally
perfectly.
Could. Oh, they would be like the movie would be better. Even.
One and the hard one.
All the vampires in this movie just dress in leather all the time.
Yep,
just all God, black, like kind of Matrix but gothier.
Oh, and they have those blue eyes too. God,
goth so Matrix, bad. But they only have the blue eyes sometimes.
When they get like real heated.
Yeah, when vampire time, when they're being all
it's
vampy.
It's
when
vampire time.
When they're chewing the scenery, you could say.
And boy, howdy, are they ever.
Also, boy, those special effects. Well, let's finish talking about the cast of this movie. So Michael Sheen is he played he was in the Matrix, not the Matrix. What is it? He was in Tron Reloaded and
Tron Reloaded. You
that's
mean
what it's called. Tron Legacy. Yeah, the movie that I.
He's been in a lot of. He's okay. He is now like a well-known dramatic actor.
It's crazy.
Like the amount of stuff that he's
everywhere.
Been afterwards.
He was
in
he
like
was
what,
Frost
Nixon.
Frost Nixon. Actually, apparently, he was shooting Frost Nixon. He had shot Frax Nixon immediately before making this movie, which that's a hilarious jump. Like, one movie's nominated for the Oscar, the other one you're playing a werewolf. But I guess he had to loop some of his lines, like re-record some of his lines. So he recorded it in werewolf makeup in his trailer and then sent it over to the producers of Frax Nixon.
Midnight in Paris. Been. He's been in a lot of even more like artsy films. For me, he's like the more dramatic. But he can be funny. But he's like almost the more dramatic Simon Pegg. It's like if you can't
to a certain extent,
and especially when he plays funny though, when you can't get Simon Pegg, Martin Sheen is your next call.
But he's like a more prestigious,
yes,
funny.
Yeah,
he's on that show, Masters of Sex.
We said a dirty word.
It's not a dirty word. That's a normal word that people say all the time.
And then we have, of course, Bill Nighy in here as well.
Yeah, the Slarderbartfest himself, also known as
Captain Davy Jones himself.
Yeah. He's been other things. He's Simon Pegg's dad in Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, he is.
He's in Love Actually. He's in Harry Potter.
He's in Hot Fuzz. He's the chief inspector.
He does a voice on the video game Destiny. Like he's
he played. Who did he play in Harry Potter?
You've seen
he
him.
Played. Gosh.
Oh, he played
Rufus,
Minister Rufus
Scrimshaw.
No, doesn't work here anymore.
Rufus. Oh, yeah. Rufus Scrimjar.
Yep. Sure. All right.
Yep.
Those are all
he
made
died
up
very quick after bequeathing.
Yes.
Some things to Harry and the kids. Spoilers.
Yeah.
You haven't watched all the Harry Potter movies by now, then what are you doing? Unless you're my roommate, Chewie, who has seen the first one and the last one and nothing else. Yeah.
Oh, the third one's the best one.
I told him about it. I told him about why he liked Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the first couple are going to be a little hard for you to get
through. First two are kids' movies.
Yeah. But once you get to the part where it's like.
The third one. The Dementors.
And not even that. Like, once you get to the part where, like, Voldemort
giant
comes.
Spiders.
Once you get to the part where Voldemort comes back, spoiler.
Yeah.
And it's like wizard blood cleansing. He's basically like wizard Hitler.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, he's like, oh, I'm like, yeah, wizard Hitler. Think about that. And he's like, oh, that sounds cool. I'm like, yeah.
I'm already
he's
dealing
evil
with
man.
Another, with enough fake Hitlers in my life.
That's true.
So other people are in this movie. Rona Mitra is the female lead. She plays Sonya. She's
stronger jawline Kate Beckinsale.
She is stronger jawline Kate Beckinsale. She's actually not bad in this movie.
She's not bad.
Like, she's the one I feel the worst for, because like she's pretty good in this movie, and but at least you know like Michael Sheen and Bill Nighy have careers outside of this, but really besides like some episodes of the Stargate television show and the movie The Number 23 with Mr. Wacky, what's his name?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim
Carrey. I just watched The Truman Show the other day. That movie's a lot better than I remember it being.
I own it on DVD. Bought it for $4.
You know what? It's a lot better than I remember it being.
No, I remember being
now
good.
I think when I first saw it when I was younger, I was expecting like wacky Jim Carrey, and that's not what you get at all.
No, when I saw it, I was like in high school, and I was like, oh, I'm ready to be serious. And I was like, oh, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
No, it's not.
Which
the
it's not the best
it's
movie
not,
I've ever
but it's
seen.
Pretty good.
It's better than Titanic.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So is I'd Punch Yourself in the Face.
Is that a movie? That should be one.
No, I don't know, but it's something you can do.
I think you meant Punch Drunk Love. That's a good movie, too.
Oh, that movie's great, though. It's not better than Punch Drunk Love.
No.
Punch Drunk Love is actually one of my favorites. Anyway, we're going to...
Proves that Adam Sandler can be a dramatic actor if he tries.
Yeah, but he doesn't ever try. So that's really... I mean, the rest of the people in this movie are... Let's see who's around. see if anybody... It's just like a bunch of people showed up on set and they're like, oh, I thought we were going to the Ren Fair. Like, no. It's a...
Hey, you want to be in this movie?
Yeah. All right.
On
everybody,
the set that we built?
Everybody who wants to wear full leather over here. Everybody who wants to get dirt, you know, who wants to roll around the dirt over
and
here.
And wear a leather vest over
and
here.
Leather vests and dirt. And over here is full goth. So None More Black or Roll in the Mud.
Speaking of None More Black, I watched the Christopher Guest new mockumentary on Netflix. It was silly. If you're a fan of Christopher Guest stuff, yeah. There's some fan service.
There are some people who like those.
There's some fan service in there.
Yeah, Harry Shearer in it.
His voice is.
Oh, there you go.
But Christopher Guest is back, and he plays character that's from a previous movie. This is a cross.
What?
It's creating a universe.
The Christopher Guest cinematic universe.
He might be playing Corky St. Clair from Waiting for Guffman.
Oh.
He might be. You'd have to watch it and see.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it was silly. It was fun. If you like those movies, it's great. I was watching my roommates who've
not a lot of action.
Chewy has
in
seen
that movie, though.
My roommate Chewy.
Any car accidents or explosions?
I know we shouldn't be talking about my roommate Chewy's only seen Spinal Tap, and my other roommate Matt gets uncomfortable with awkward humor. So I was the only one laughing. And I was like,
Spinal Tap is,
you know,
great.
I should have watched with my parents. They love those movies. Anyway, so
this on the other hand. There is no.
I'm just trying to get out. You know that the movie is bad. When on the show, I do anything but talk about the movie that you have to watch.
Let's do the thing we normally do. We always talk about a MacGuffin in a movie. MacGuffin is an Alfred Hitchcock filmmaking term. It's the thing everybody's trying to get. In this movie, plot structure wise, it's really interesting because if you've seen the first two movies, you know exactly who in this movie is going to continue to live at the end of the movie and who's not.
And that's
based on the other movies that you've seen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Star Wars prequels, except that there's no mystery at all because there's only like two characters that matter.
So let me explain.
Whereas at least you're like, well, I wonder what's going to happen to Qui-Gon Jinn.
Let me explain a story element that was presented to me at a writing workshop at a comic convention by a comic writer by the name of Len Wein. Who most of you
invented
probably don't know.
Wolverine.
But he invented Wolverine and also Swamp Thing as well.
Yeah.
So he made a point and he said, was it Len Wein? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, Len Wein. He made a point, and his point was...
Oh, it might have been Marv Wolfman.
No, it was Marv Wolfman. I'm sorry. Not Len Wein. Marv Wolfman. Len Wein is
Which,
not as nice.
Marv Wolfman is an appropriate person to be talking about right now.
Actually, yeah.
How did you not catch that?
It was
that?
Marv Wolfman. They're both old men. Anyway,
I once sold Marv Wolfman and a wireless router.
There you go. So Marv Wolfman was talking about prequels, and he said... Prequels don't need to exist unless it changes something we thought we already knew.
Mm.
Unless it's entirely changes it. And now, so I'm starting to think like all the movies that have prequels, like, are there any that change what we already knew about, or what we thought we already knew about the character, even in a little way, maybe about a character or the events that occurred? For that argument, the Star Wars prequels don't need to exist.
I disagree in the sense that it never really felt that Darth Vader was at all redeemable in Empire and Jedi. And after the prequels, kind of.
I don't know. But it doesn't teach us anything we didn't already know. We already knew that, they were fought in the Clone Wars. I mean, that's great
We knew precisely.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an example of another prequel that's by Mr. George Toyboy Lucas. Maybe it's a smaller thing. Let's talk about Temple of Doom.
Sure.
Temple of Doom changes something we thought about Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
In Indiana Jones, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, he's very much about museum and preserving culture, and it has to be, it's preserved for people to have, and there's it's not just for money, and there's bigger purposes.
This belongs in a museum.
Or there's bigger purposes. There's a reason for things. And in Temple of Doom, when we first meet Indy, he's all about fortune. They mention it multiple times in the dialogue.
Fortune and fame.
Fortune and glory. Fortune and glory. And by the end of that movie, he's like, now he gets those stones back, and he's like, you know what? I understand, like, this is not just about moolah. That's true. There's more to it than that. And so Indiana Jones, we learned something that we thought we knew. We found out how he got that, and we never knew that aspect of him before.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a smaller example, but there are other. I'm sure there are other prequels that totally change the way that we view or think about something. But this, much like the Star Wars prequels, is not one of them. Like,
no.
We already know.
This just sort of explains a couple of lines of dialogue and elucidates.
We didn't need
a
this
motivation
movie. This movie didn't need to exist.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example because I'm looking right now. You've never watched either of these shows, but Better Call Saul, the kind of prequel to Breaking Bad, it tells you a lot about that character's backstory that you didn't know. Yeah, his name isn't Saul Goodman originally, and maybe he had a whole different life that we didn't know about, and it kind of shapes how you look at him. So
his name is Bob Odenkirk.
No, Bob Odenkirk.
Right, that's his name.
Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, from that show.
Anyway, but Monster like that show. Sort of thing is when it changes. Of Mr. Show? Oh, yeah. When it see, Ryan doesn't want to talk about this movie either. But when a prequel changes what you thought you already knew, then it has a reason to exist. Mm-hmm. Because it's telling us something new that we didn't know before. Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, I mean, you could maybe argue that if this...
I mean, they could still exist, but I think they have meaning if it changes something that we already knew.
The Michael Sheen, it just sort of seems like a bad guy in Underworld Evolution, and in this movie, it's very much the Magneto was right kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
But they also in Underworld Evolution, there's a big twist, and it's Michael Sheen's not the bad guy, Bill Nye is the bad guy. Like that already happened in a whole nother movie.
Yeah.
So it happening again in this movie is not a surprise.
Yeah,
it's not useful.
No, and it's like, well, now we're going to see how it turns out he was the bad. It's like, but we already know this.
Yeah,
Why do we need to see this?
We're going
to
see how cruel Victor is. Well, we already know he's cruel.
I already know he's evil.
Like, he kills his own daughter.
And he gets dead in the second movie,
What is that called? Miscegenation.
They cut his head off. Or open.
No, they but because his daughter has familiar relations with a werewolf, so he kills her.
Yeah, well, you know. There's a lot of that in this movie. Did you watch this?
No, I watched this.
Thank goodness, because I didn't want to get blamed for picking this movie. Because
there is, like, from what I recall of that scene, that they don't actually show anything.
No, but there's a lot of
it must have been so awkward to film.
It probably was.
Poor Michael Sheen.
Oh man,
he seems like the kind of guy who would at least be like humorous in a situation like that, where you have to do something really awkward like that.
But, like, talk about the MacGuffin in this movie.
The MacGuffin is to get through the plot so that we understand why this happened in the past.
I guess you could argue that Victor wants Lycan enslavement.
But
he wants that to continue. And you could argue that
and Michael Sheen doesn't.
He wants them to be free. Yep. So it's that sort of struggle.
And 1,000 years later, they're still fighting the same fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those, the problem. So another prequel problem is that sometimes in prequels, like, you can't actually imperil certain characters because you know that they survived because you've seen the movie that takes place afterwards.
I.e. Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know Obi-Wan Kenobi's going to make it through those Star Wars prequels.
So there's never any concern that Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to die. No. But that's okay because they put other people at risk.
Yes.
You know, in this movie, though, it's Bill Nighy and Michael Sheen.
And some girl
who are constantly like...
And you haven't seen her before, so you're like, she's probably not going to make it.
Who are constantly fighting, and it's like, oh, well, you know, they're going to hurt him, and they're going to stab him with silver, and they're going to do all these things. It's like, look, I already know that he's going to make it through. You don't need to keep almost killing him.
Yeah.
Because we already know where this ends up.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like they're almost going to kill Bill Nighy, but it...
Yeah, he stabs him through the head.
We know that Bill Nighy doesn't die.
Yes.
Because we saw him in the other movie.
Yes. Yeah, so,
and so, like, why watch this? Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter that it's like the peril is all fake because you're just sitting there like, well, I know Bill Nighy's not going to die. And I know Michael Sheen's not going to die. Let's see who else dies.
But
the thing is, none of the other characters have more than one dimension. And so who cares?
True. I mean, and they're like, there's some movies that you don't need all the continuity for. Like, I know that...
Some series?
Well, I mean, yes, I guess so. There are some even... Like, I wouldn't want to see a prequel. I mean, even though you haven't seen Civil War, but you kind of do see a prequel of it a little bit. But there's, like, it's smart because there's scenes. I don't want to see, like, young Tony Stark.
Oh.
Like, and guess, oh, here, look, an arc reactor. What could that mean? Like, I don't want to see that.
Oh, that doesn't mean that Marvel's not going to do that. Marvel would absolutely do that.
Marvel already kind of did do it.
Well, yeah, they did.
You haven't seen Civil War.
No, but they did do Tony Stark's dad.
Yeah, but we didn't go and spend a whole movie with Tony Stark's dad.
No, it was a TV series.
I guess we did spend a whole movie with Tony Stark's dad, but it wasn't following. It wasn't called Tony Stark's dad. It wasn't, and even then it wasn't like, is Tony Stark's dad going to die? It's like, well, no, of course he's not going to die. And there's certain times, yeah, even I guess in Agent Carter, where you're like, no, he's not going to die. Like, he'll be fine.
He's Tony Stark's dad.
Yeah, we saw him later at the Stark Expo.
He hasn't yet made Tony Stark, so.
But, like, there's just certain things where you're just like, I don't need this. Thanks. No, thank you.
Let's talk about the.
Like, I feel a prequel to Toy Story would nah, maybe a prequel to Toy Story would be pretty good.
Well, because we trust Pixar with the story.
But here's the thing: you don't have to worry. Like, is Woody not going to make it? It's like, of course Woody's going to make it because we know Woody's in the other movies. So yeah, Woody's going to make it.
That's true.
Woody may get abandoned, but he's going to make it.
Well, we know he's going to get abandoned.
Yeah.
Anyway. My personal headcanon there is that Woody was, Andy's dad's
that is headcanon. Okay. That's correct.
Well, headcanon means it's the thing that I think in my mind.
Well, that's also your headcanon is actual canon.
Oh, perfect.
Well, originally he was supposed
actually, my other headcanon is that Jessie was Andy's mom's toy that she abandoned as a child.
I like to imagine that. I like to imagine they both grew up, and I like to imagine that Andy's mom and Andy's dad were close. Aww. And then, but he kept Woody. She gave Jessie away.
Well,
and
she'd give him Jessie away when she's a teen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they had been dating all the entire time. That
timeline doesn't really line up, but it's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, but in the original script, he was supposed to be like Andy's dad's like ventriloquist dummy, and then they changed him into a doll instead. But anyway, but so yeah, he's a family heirloom. So I'm assuming he's Andy's dad.
Perfect.
Let's get back to this piece. We keep talking about better movies.
Let's talk about the special effects. Specifically, I want to talk about the special effects of the werewolves. because you gotta put this movie in context. The movie was made in 2009.
Yes.
2009 was
one
was,
year after Iron Man.
Was the height of what if we just did everything CG? What if all of everything was computer generated? And a lot of this movie actually feels like there were some practical effects involved.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
It doesn't just feel like that's a pure green screen movie.
It's very true.
Like the creature effects for the transformation and for the werewolves look like puppets in like kind of an awesome like old school 80s horror way.
Yeah, sort
of. But the thing is, there's like a whole lot of them, and you see a whole lot of the puppets, which is not what you're supposed to do with an old school 80s horror thing. You're supposed to see a flash of it for a second.
Right.
Think American Werewolf in Paris.
Yes.
Or American Werewolf in London, where you don't really ever see the werewolf as a whole. You just see little bits of it.
Yes.
And it's much scarier than like full screen transformation, which happens twice in this movie.
Yeah.
And is sort of weird and like werewolf movies always get into that sort of weird body horror thing, but this movie, like, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's hard in this movie. It's not amazing.
This movie wasn't made on a $1 billion budget. It was released in January, for goodness sakes. Like
between bad, so bad it's so this, good, so bad it's good, and just bad.
This movie was made for the people who cared about Underworld.
This is the hardcore Underworld people. This is people, Ian.
Meant to see this movie.
Think about it.
We weren't even meant to see Underworld.
Think about
Evolution.
It like this. There are people who have Underworld tattoos. There have to be. Just imagine the world that you live in. There has to be at least a handful of people with Underworld tattoos. They saw this movie at midnight. They own it on Blu-ray. They own the box set. They own the steelbook version. Actually, I don't know if that exists, but
there's so many.
I told you.
I looked at it online, and there is them.
On the other hand, we're
the
kind of
person.
There's
one of freaking Lucien on this guy's arm. That's fantastic. My God. Oh,
but instead, I'm the kind of person who would buy a Big Trouble in Little China Blu-ray special edition. But there are people who would buy a Underworld Rise of the Lycans, Blu-ray special edition.
So bad. This guy's got one on his chest. Perfect.
It's amazing.
Oh, this is bad.
Hopefully
this
he has a moon too.
To look at.
This you know what bummed me out is how little the moon was involved in a werewolf movie.
This one's got like one of the soldiers from this movie. Oh God.
Don't Google it. You'll be bummed out.
I guess different strokes, man.
What's there left to be said? There's some sword fighting in this movie.
Yeah, but again, like I said to Ryan before the show, the action sequence is like, and who could forget? Like, that's literally what it is. There's nothing. Oh, there's that part where they throw fire in the sewer. That's about the only action scene I really remember.
I think that Michael.
Oh,
Sheen
yeah, and
Bill
they fight
Nighy
on the fight with the chains. That's about all I remember.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yep. Everything else is like vampire politics. That's the other thing too. Why is with all these prequels and politics?
It's true.
This is everybody, the second set of prequels I've seen.
Everybody wants a seat on the council.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been watching.
I have expected that dude from episode one to show up and be like, we do not like the vampires. I'm like, man. What's this guy doing here?
I've been watching a lot of Star Trek. I watched a lot of Star Trek. Next Generation. My wife and I watch Star Trek to wind down at the end of the day. So we're
they're easy to watch. I'll be honest with you. I've been watching Next Generation and they're real fun.
Yeah, we're three seasons into Deep Space Nine. And there have been several episodes now, not in a row, but enough episodes where there's aliens who are angry and the way to solve it is get them a seat on the council. And it's like, hey, if I get that sort of a cheesy plot,
yeah,
like cheesy plot choice, like a motivation for a bad guy in one episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. But this whole movie is like, oh, I want a seat on the council. Like,
there's actually a couple ones I could think of where there's two races that are different in some way. Yeah. And they have to, one, they just don't like each other. And then one's like, one needs a cure for their disease and the otherwise won't give it.
Let's put it this way. Underworld Rise of the Lycans is worse than several episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation that do the exact same plot better.
Yeah, it's true.
And a television show that is 30 years old
so Ryan,
does it better than this feature length film.
So Ryan, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What would you rate this out of 10?
It's the third movie, right?
Yeah.
I'll give it 3.
I'll give it
3 for the three main stars because they could have phoned it in more, but instead they went to chew the scenery route.
Yeah, they tried a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll give it 3. 3 what?
I felt bad. Three actors who had to deal with this horrible movie that they were starring in.
I'm going to go ahead and give it 3 seats on the council.
or that crossbow that had three bows. It was just 3 crossbows glued together so you could shoot 3 bolts in rapid succession.
This movie's not great unless you're a fan of the other two. Much like we said last time, unless you're a fan of the other two Underworld movies.
Or unless you're a fan of hardcore making fun of vampire werewolf, just goth drama.
Yes.
I mean, unless you play a lot of Vampire the Masquerade, that's an RPG.
Yes, I know.
Unless you've ever LARPed Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe.
I think that's more Anne Rice, though, than this, though, isn't it?
This owes a lot of debt to Anne Rice. Yeah.
So,
it's like superhero Anne Rice.
So, Ryan, blockbuster or lackluster?
No, it's lackluster. This is not a movie worth watching.
No, really. Not at all. Not like, at all.
I guess.
Even if you liked Underworld,
yeah, background in a party, but just like pump the Evanescence.
Yeah.
maybe throw some Linkin Park in there.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And some System of a Down.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Other sort of '90s.
I can get behind this. All right.
You know, very really late '90s like new metal.
I can get behind this.
Oh, maybe some Korn.
So that is Underworld Rise of the Lycans, and that is our show. But before we go, we want to give you a preview of what we're going to be watching next time for
the final episode
of Monster Mash Monthtober. And this is one that sounds goofy and fun. We're gonna resurrect out of all these things and try to come back with a fun one that's probably going to be bad, but at least it'll be fun bad. Ryan, we've covered a lot of different topics in Monster Mash Monthtober. We've talked about mummies.
Yep.
We've talked about werewolves.
Uh-huh.
Vampires,
absolutely.
Even Frankenstein monsters.
Perfect.
And did we cover zombies? I think we might have done zombies at one point.
Well, I mean, they're sort of like the zombies that the mummy resurrects.
But there's one we didn't really talk. It was one more female-led group that we haven't talked about.
It's true.
Really, we've had like harpies and stuff, but not like there's one specific group. And that is witches.
Mm.
And Ryan, witches are about to get their due here on our show. And so we're going to combine witches with, of course, the old classic fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel into an action spectacular known as Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. So thank
starring
you guys.
Hawkeye.
Yeah, starring Hawkeye. So thank you so much for watching this if you did, but thank you so much for listening to Super Action Bros. And we want to invite you back next time for the end of Monster Mash Monthtober with of course Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. So come back with us and remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.